everyone for just staying engaged with this, with our community here at church over the last year. Obviously, it's been much more difficult to stay engaged. Our routines have been disrupted. Our comfort has been disrupted. Our relationships have been disrupted. And so I think, yeah, from the lead team, but really just kind of giving voice as a community from one to another. Yeah, just thank you for staying engaged. And whether that's meant, you know, putting on a mask and coming to church, or connecting on Zoom, figuring out Zoom and all that technology, or yeah, small group adjustments and conversations, creative ways to connect with people and adjusting how we usually connect with people, whatever adjustments you've had to make to kind of stay engaged with this community, we just want to say thank you. It's because each person decides that, yes, this community is worth trying to figure it out together, that we continue to live as a community and we continue to feed off of each other and grow together. So just thank you for all the ways you've done that this year. Again, whatever that's meant for you, it's part of why we can celebrate together, even at Christmas, it's different and difficult. And we continue to believe that through all those adjustments and the ways that we've said yes to being a part of this community as part of our following Jesus, that God is going to repay that to each of us in many ways and as a community. So, yeah, may that be true as we enter into to a new year. Well, I want to add my Merry Christmas to the hundreds of Merry Christmases probably that you've already had. And even though it's over, your decorations are probably still up, and maybe you have some Christmas events yet to do. So we can still say it, Merry Christmas. And I was thinking this week of why it's Merry. And I think that there's a old liturgy phrase that the church has used a lot, that Christ has come. Christ has come. I think I adjusted it a little bit as I thought about this week. Christ has come, Christ is here, and Christ will come again. That powerful refrain reminding us of why, yes, it is a Merry Christmas, even in 2020 with all the adjustments that are required and continue to be required of us. So I'd love just to say that together. I know it's hard to do things together on Zoom and feel like we're together, but I'd love for everyone, just invite everybody to give voice to that. Christ has come, Christ is here, and Christ will come again. Let's just say that three times together as we enter into this. Together, Christ has come, Christ is here, and Christ will come again. Say it again. Christ has come, Christ is here, and Christ will come again. One more time. Christ has come, Christ is here, and Christ will come again. What a powerful truth that carries us and affirms the merriness of Christmas, even in the midst of all that we continue to face in this crazy year of 2020. But it's also merry, maybe for some of us, because 2020 is almost over. We only have a couple more days of 2020, and then we begin to enter into the glorious 2021, full of hope and promise, though of course we don't know what 2021 holds either. But this morning I just want to spend a little time reflecting on the importance of this transition that we're going to make this week, as one year comes to an end and another year begins. And I know that's not very profound, you probably already knew that and have thought about it. But I think in our modern world, especially with our emphasis on the next thing, on building, on growing, on more, we often don't take time to slow down and recognize the important transitions that are happening in our lives and in our world. Our modern culture almost always see things in a linear fashion, step A, step B, step C, and we just keep going on that line. Heading in a certain direction. And of course, that's helped us in many ways. But a lot of other cultures and in many of the complexities of life, the circle is also a helpful way to understand life as rhythms that we live in that come and go, that are up and down. My Indonesian friends, one of their common sayings was that sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down. Life is like a wheel. And there's a number of things in Indonesian culture that makes that an important understanding. But I think and for many things in our life, it's a good thing to remember that life just keeps going around and we don't know what's going to come next year. So whether we're up now, we might be down next year. Whether we're down now, we might be up next year. But it kind of gives that sense that, yes, this is a coming and going, an ebb and flow of life, which in many cases is true. And it's not only true in Indonesian culture. Our own Christian worldview also has some of those important points. And I'm just going to read for us Ecclesiastes 3. You can turn there if you have a Bible, or you can just listen. You've heard these verses before, and even in pop culture songs and stories. But this is just the "there is a time for everything" passage. And I just want to review that today as we think about heading into this year transition, this transition to a new year, to help us remember the importance of that transition. So I'm just going to read Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8. And again, just let these kind of things, this truth that this passage is saying, just soak over, wash over you as you think about the past year and the year to come. Ecclesiastes 3, 1 to 8. "There's a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace." So these verses remind us that there's a season for everything. And even in our seasons of life don't always connect with the physical seasons, but God has worked this idea of seasons right into the very fabric of creation. And even after the flood, the famous verses in Genesis 8:22, God promises Noah that as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. And so God tells us, hey, one thing you can count on are these seasons coming and going throughout your life. And if we look at our even the physical realities of life, he's given us these seasons that we often talk about, these rhythms of days, right? We have the daytime and the evening right there in Genesis 1. It's amazing that God, we emphasize so much about how productive we can be, especially in our Western culture, but God has designed us that a third of each day we're flat on our backs doing nothing. And he gives us that day and evening of renewing so that we know we have this day, but we know there's another day coming. And each day has that promise. And the week, we have this rhythm that God gave his people that's so beautiful, of this weekly rhythm, 6 days of work and one day of rest, the Sabbath. And of course, the months, almost every culture of the world tracks time by the months, by the moon and the different cycles of the moon that help us to track time. And then, of course, in our modern culture, the year is kind of the big one. Every year we gauge our life in years. How many years have you been alive? We gauge milestones in years of our life. And this week we're transitioning to a whole new year. And I just want to encourage us this morning, this week as we kind of finish up Christmas celebrations and we look to a new year, just to take some time to reflect. 1 year is ending. What has happened this last year? And what does next year look like? And one simple way to do that might be, and if you're in a family context, doing it with a family or friends, or even just some personal reflection of looking back over the last year, and even making a timeline, writing it down sometimes helps. Make a timeline, January 1st, 2020, all the way to whatever date you're doing it, the end of the year and just start marking. What are the key events or key happenings? Sometimes people like to draw the positive ones above the line and the negative ones below the line and kind of give you a picture of your year to reflect on. We read in the Bible a lot about this idea of putting on Christ and taking off the works that are not of Christ or the things that are. And I want to encourage you, as you think about this year and take time to reflect here, to sit with those simple questions. What are the things from last year that you want to let in last year? What are the things you just want even last year and not take with you into 2021? And what are the things from 2020 that you want to hold on to, that you want to take with you? And again, not so much circumstance. We don't have control over all our circumstances. But for you personally, or you as a family, or you with your friends, what are the things that you as a person want to carry with you? The things where you saw Jesus, where you learned about Jesus, where you were formed in Jesus, that you want to carry with you and continue to make a part of your life in 2021. And what are the things that you realize that was not of God, and I want to let that in 2020. I don't want to take that with me into 2021. So as you look about, think about first of what happened and kind of scope out in that timeline of what happened. And then also, what do you want to take with you and what do you want to let there? And by the way, especially in our world today, pictures are a great way to do that. Google keeps reminding me of what happened last year. You probably have pictures or stories or things of ways to help jog your memory as to what happened last year. So what could that mean? What might that look like as you think about putting off, leaving in 2020 and taking with you into 2021? Well, I just have a couple examples of things for me and things that I thought of this week as I thought about what it looks like to put off and leave in 2020 and what it looks like to take with you in 2021. So the Bible first talks about putting off, right? We first die to ourselves. We put off the works of the flesh. And then we put on Christ. So what do we want to put off? What does that look like as we think about 2020? And of course, we can't talk about putting off without talking about forgiveness. One of the greatest gifts that Jesus gave us through his life and death and resurrection. This idea of forgiveness, that we are able to start new. My Indonesian friends also talk a lot about fatalism, that things are already put in place. And we can't change that, or that our actions from the past will find us out today in the future, in the present or the future. But the glorious truth of the gospel is that's not true. Jesus has poured out forgiveness into the world, and we are not slaves to our past. We are not stuck by what has happened. And the way we unleash ourselves from past events is this. One of the main ways is through forgiveness. So I encourage you, as you look at 2020, to think about, where is forgiveness needed? First, where do you need to forgive yourself? We look at 2020 and we say, maybe attitudes or actions or things that came out of me that were not driven by the Spirit of God, or were not out of a posture of love and surrender and worship that God has called us to. So we can easily identify those things. And then we need to make sure that we, as God forgives us, we are also forgiving ourselves, so that our mistakes don't become places of shame for us, but they become the doorways of transformation for us, where we can offer them to God and allow God to do his work in even greater ways. So as we look back on 2020, we want to make sure we're forgiving ourselves. And that's also important, because the way that we have grace with ourselves then allows us to have grace with other people as well. And that's the second thing. Where do we need to forgive others? Because others weren't perfect this year either. Others didn't treat us well, or didn't treat us perfectly. Others didn't always make the right decisions. And sometimes that caused us a lot of pain and frustration. And so we want to look at the ways we want to extend grace to others. And sometimes that means telling them. And sometimes it just means a posture, a decision in our hearts that I'm going to extend forgiveness and I'm not carrying that with me. And of course, there's some ways that our actions also brought pain and hurt to others. And there's ways that we can ask forgiveness for certain things that we have done. So as we put off, a part of that is acknowledging the places where our lives were not driven by the love, the truth, the worship of God. Our lives may have been driven by self-protection or self-glorification or other manifestations of selfishness. And we just want to acknowledge those. We want to offer them to God. And we want to allow forgiveness to flow to us and through us as a key way that we're not taking those mistakes or places of pain with us into 2021. So I encourage you to reflect on that. And obviously forgiveness is a huge complex topic, as we've talked about before. And if there's any spaces where you're wondering, what do I do with this? How do I work through this better? Then, yeah, Michelle or I obviously would be glad to talk to you or others. Sometimes we need others to help us think through and walk through what does it look like to forgive and let go. Not in a simplistic way, but in a way that brings healing and freedom to us. What else do we want to put off? Well, I just thought about some attitudes in myself as I look back on 2020. What are attitudes that didn't allow us to surrender and live in the love and the life of Jesus? I look back on my own 2020. I think one that I would identify is impatience, especially in a situation where there was increased anxiety or chaos or pressure that many of us felt in different situations. I see myself not always have being patient with myself and with others at times. So I want to be more aware of when impatience is driving me in 2021 and allow God to transform that. I also saw times when I was acting out of self-protection, trying to protect myself from sometimes physically, but mostly emotionally or relationally. And I want to be more aware of how I'm acting in ways that are really driven by self-protection rather than love in 2021. I want to let that attitude of self-protection in 2020 and ask God to change that as we go through the new year. And not only attitudes, but also activities. What are the activities or kind of things I'm doing that I realized in 2020 didn't help me to live in the life of Jesus or didn't allow the life of Jesus to be expressed? And one of them for me, and in a year of a lot of swirling thoughts and opinions about a lot of different things this year, I just realized the news for me created a lot of extra mental noise that was unhelpful for me. So I want to be aware of that activity. I like following the news, and I'm going to continue to follow the news. But there are some ways where my connecting with the news probably wasn't helpful in me allowing the life of Jesus to be expressed. So that's one activity or thing in my life that I want to be aware of. How much time and mental energy is that taking or using up for me? And another one that I've just been aware of, I think I mentioned this in our Sunday small group once this summer, but is this thing that I get into of arguing ideas or concepts in my head. I argue, and the great thing about arguing in your head is that you always win and you always feel so justified that, yeah, I'm right. The problem is it's because it's only your head, right? It's only my head. I don't have anybody else's opinion, which is where real growth and kind of formation happens. And so I just realized more and more that as soon as I find myself kind of arguing in my head, I want to just stop that and find ways to focus my thoughts that are more helpful. Because that allows me then, when I talk to people about different issues, I'm more open and more able to be understanding, empathetic, and hear the life of Jesus rather than just my own arguments that I've played over 100 times in my head. So those are some ways that I've noticed in 2020 that I want to leave in 2020, that I want to be more aware. I want to ask for grace as I go into the new year to not continue to live at the level I was in those things. I want to put those things off and leave them in 2020. And as you look back on 2020, maybe there's attitudes or actions or areas of forgiveness that you say, man, I don't want to take this stuff with me in 2021. I want to leave this in 2020. And it's not like I'm never going to be impatient again or never going to argue in my head, but I want to do it less in 2021 than I did in 2020 and allow God to change some of those patterns and attitudes in my heart. So we put off the things that we don't want to take with us, but we also want to put on. Jesus is saying, hey, what do you want to put on for 2020? What are the 2021? What are the things that heading into this year you want to say, I want to be more attentive to incorporating this more in my life by the grace of the Spirit of God? So I want to think about what lessons have I learned that I want to make sure I hold on to. Michelle often reminds me so well that the pain that we experience in life is passing. But the things we learn from that pain is gold nuggets that will be with us throughout eternity. And so what are those things I don't want to let go? What are those things I don't want to lose? And a couple of these things kind of match some of the things that we put off. But one of the lessons I learned is that when I feel anxious or chaotic, I tend to try to do something, try to act in a way that will relieve the anxiety or chaos. But almost every time I do that, it makes it worse when I just react to a situation. And so that's one big lesson I've learned, that when I start to feel myself feel anxious or chaotic, the best thing is not to try to fix it or do something about it. The best thing is to try to relax, continue to talk, listen to God and people, and try to make a better decision than I would if I just react. So I want to keep remembering that as I go into 2021. And another lesson I learned is that situations and people are always more complex than they first appear. And that goes along with kind of the reacting thing. But I've just been amazed this year at how complex situations and people are. And I think that's one thing that I really want to take with me. And of course, some of this relates to COVID and some of it relates to other situations and some of it relates to church stuff and other situations. But these are just things that I'm recognizing that I really want to make sure I'm taking with me into 2021. So again, then attitudes and activities are two categories that I like to think about as I think of what am I putting off and what am I putting on. Some of the attitudes, again, that I think or postures that I want to think about is I want to make sure I'm listening deeply and asking good questions. That goes along with the complexity. At times when I look back, when I did listen and ask good questions, I feel like I just was so much more aware of what was happening. And at times when I reacted, I wasn't. So that's an attitude I want to take into every situation. And another one is not feeling responsible for others' decisions. It's been a pattern in my life that I learned a lot about this year and that is really freeing the more that I understand that and am able to kind of release that responsibility that sometimes I feel. And then just two practices or activities, in this case, kind of spiritual disciplines that have really helped me that you've heard me talk about a lot. One has been worship, and I want to really take that with me into 2021, continue to make a worship of a very key grounding practice for me as I continue to walk with Jesus. And the other is celebration that I've been thinking a lot about this month and last month, finding as many possible ways as I can to celebrate people, things, anything that we can find ways to celebrate, I think is a key piece that helps me connect with God and his life on earth. And that's been fun in the last month as I've really tried to focus on how can I celebrate the most possible ways, not always doing it perfectly, but that's an attitude and a posture, an action that I want to take into 2021. So just sharing those obviously it's going to be different for you and your own reflection, but just to kind of help think about what are some things that we can put off and what are some things that we can put on as we go into this next year. And I really want to challenge you this week. It's going to look different for everybody, how we engage in that by ourselves or with others or whatever. But I encourage you to take some time to think that through. Because as we live in following Jesus, we are covered under grace. And we don't have to live in shame for past things that happened. We don't have to try to achieve or prove ourselves that we did great or bad or none of that. But the reflective work of seeing what is happening in us and what do we want to continue to posture ourselves to grow with Jesus is the work that is required of followers of Jesus. Jesus said, we'll know that we're walking with him by the fruit, right? What comes out of our lives is how we know. But if we never stop to think about what is coming out of our life, then we never know if we're growing closer to Jesus or we're not growing closer to Jesus. And these kind of big moment transitions, as we think about a new year, are just helpful reminders to take time to stop, take stock. What's happened? What's it done to me? And how do I want to posture myself so the life of Jesus can flow through me more in the next year than it did in 2020 is a very important practice for us as followers of Jesus. And again, it's not something that we can make happen. That's the glorious part of the gospel. But it is bringing my places of impatience, my places of self-protection, bringing that to God and saying, God, I don't want to live in this anymore. I want you to change that through 2021 so that at the end of 2021, I'm not focused on the same thing, or I'm not at the same place than I was today at the end of 2020. Because as often has been said, we usually overestimate the amount of growth or change that can happen in 1 year. But we usually underestimate the amount of change or growth that can happen in 10 years. And if we're intentional at these big rhythms to take stock, find ways that God is calling us to grow, and then give ourselves to those ways, in 1 year, it might not look like much growth. But if we continue to do that year after year, after 10 years, we can look back and say, wow, God is changing me in these areas. And there's still more to go, of course. But I see God's work in bringing me to a greater surrender, a greater worship. There's deeper love flowing out of my heart. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. All those expressions of the life of God are greater in my life because I took stock. I let go of what was not of Jesus, and I put on in intentional ways what was of Jesus. And because of that, he was able to work out his purposes in our hearts. So let's take stock this year. What are the places that you want to put off? And what are the things, attitudes, and actions, and lessons that you want to make sure you put on as you head? And then just take some time to pray and ask God to do those things in you that he has put on your heart. So that again, at the end of 2021, when we do probably a similar thing, we can look back and say, wow, remember that? What we talked about in 2020, what did that look like through this year in 2021? And what do I want? How do I want to keep allowing God to work in me in 2022? Growth is a slow process. And the standard of Jesus, obviously, is very high. But the glorious good news is that he has poured out his Spirit on each one of us. And he, as we've said many times, is totally confident that if we say yes to his work in our lives, he can actually form us into being like Jesus. More this year than last year. Always further up and always further in into his likeness, into his joy and his peace. He can do that in us. And if we will say yes to him, he will do that as we head into 2022. And that's the glorious privilege of us as children of God, as disciples of Jesus, that he wants, he desires, he longs to work in us and continue to form us as we partner with him in saying, yes, God, these are the spaces where I see you working, and these are the spaces where I want to continue to see you work. So that's my prayer for us as we head into the new year of 2021, that we would be a people that continue to reflect on that great theme, that first part of our mission statement, which we spent a lot of this year talking about, this idea of what does it mean to commune and relate and communicate with God, this year of prayer that we've been talking about. And I hope that this last week of this year, you take some time to commune and relate and communicate with God about what was this year, what happened to me, what do I want to put off, what do I want to put on, and God, what are you saying for 2021 as we walk into that year, so that all of our walking with Jesus and together as a community becomes deeper and stronger and more meaningful, and the life of God that he's put in us can continue to flow out of us in deep and powerful ways. Let's pray together as we end. So we thank you, Lord, that you are with us. Thank you so much. Thank you, and thank you for giving us these rhythms of days and weeks and months and years. And as we come to this important transition, which we only experience 70, 80, 90 times in our entire life, we want to just take stop this week. And I pray that you would give us grace and understanding to know how to stop for each one of us, how to just stop this week, recognize a new year, an ending and a beginning, and allow you to speak into our lives. What do you want us to leave in 2020? And what do you want us to take into 2021. I pray from the youngest of us to the oldest of us that we would all have fresh insights into how you are into a new. Pray that you would give us wisdom for how do we put off not trying to hate, not taking shame on ourselves, but just surrendering to you. God, show us how to put off the things that are not of you, how to walk in forgiveness, giving and receiving. And I pray that you would show us how to put on, God, not striving to make things happen or trying harder, but allowing your Spirit to come into those areas and form us in fresh ways. God, would you show us how to do that? Teach us again. And in the areas where we need someone else to help us understand that, please give us grace and courage to reach out, Lord, and walk with those who can help guide and lead and pray with us into those things. But God, we say we want you to be at work in 2021. We don't want to end 2021 the same as we are right now at the end of 2020. And we thank you for the ways that we are not the same as we were at the end of 2019. It is our faith, God, that you can do it in us as we give ourselves to you and say yes to you. And so for each one of us, what is in your mind right now for how we will be at the end of 21, we want to say yes to that, God. And we want to ask you, do it in us, God. Do it in us so that the reality of who we are at the end of 2021 is the same as what is in your mind and your heart for us right now, God. We trust you to do that. Whatever other circumstances happen in 2021, you are able to form us in your likeness. And so we say yes to it today, God. Let it be so, Lord. Let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.